Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Weekend sports with a difference.
Yeah, I really shouldn't be drinking.
Oh, really? You learned that in med school? That you obviously didn't get into?
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
He's a very gifted singer.
I'm really, really good.
How good?
I've been called the songbird of my generation.
Stop.
By people who've heard me. That good.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, hey, it is 9:02 here on your Sunday morning.
Guess who's Bizak?
That'd
be me.
Rashad?
Yes.
that wasn't that hard when you said that. You know, I could tell by your voice that you were back. And sorry, Bizak.
Yes, yeah. Bizak. I'm going to talk like that for the rest of the dizay.
Please don't. How was Los Angeles?
LA is always a good time, man.
You're going with a bunch of teenagers.
A bunch of 18-year-olds, man, or soon to be 18-year-olds. So
I feel like that probably affects it a little bit.
It changes things a little bit, you know. As an adult, you know, we kick it a little bit differently when we're in another state. You know, lots of drinks to be had, lots of parties to be, you know, going to, and just not as many of the drinking and parties, but. We did have a good time, got a chance to do some cool stuff. Went to Universal Studios, didn't get a chance to get in. Like, you know, we have a big group of about 70. And we get there, and initially they told us because we had so many, it'd be like $80 a person. Great. And then we get to the gate, and they tell us, oh, no, that was if you did it online. It's actually $109 a person. And still we're like, okay, that sucks, but prepared to pay, no problem.
Right.
And then
you know what you're getting into.
But then they go one further and was like, you know what? That was a rate that had already passed. So it's actually $125 per person. And then that's when I was like, okay, well, we're not going
to. You know, that's the game that they play, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're there and you're already prepared to pay $109, what's $16 more at that point for most people, right? They're going to be like, fine, $120. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
$125.
Yeah.
You guys were the exception to that rule.
Yes, because I guess when you have a group of 70, you know, that additional $16 is like,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, maybe we should figure something else out. But it was cool. Six Flags was literally 30 minutes down the road. So
and Six Flags is perfect.
Six Flags is really good. You know, at Universal, there are not a lot of rides. There's only a couple, but most of them are like experiences. You know, the Harry Potter experience and the
right, you go. It's Simpsons. Still technically a ride. But you're going through like the world.
Yeah, you know, but there's no like big drops or no. Well, there are, but just on certain things. So don't expect that if you're going everywhere.
Six Flags is known for its big drops.
That's as soon as you pull up, you see this big ass roller coaster, and you're like, oh, okay, this is where you should be. But the one thing that was surprising about Universal Studios, there's a Voodoo Donuts there.
Oh, I did know that. Yeah. On some of their, I think Blue Star is also in Los Angeles now too. A couple of the big Portland donut places. Are now in other places.
It's like
as well.
Prominent. Like as soon as you're walking in from the parking lot, you see a big Voodoo Donut. And it's like, oh wow, look at Portland getting on the map.
Taking our crappy donuts down to LA now.
I guess so. And the kids went and spent $7 for a maple bacon bar. And it was like, you could get that at home for like $1.50 or, you know, $1.99 or whatever it is.
Look, this always really, really frustrates me. And I think Jesse said this just intentionally to piss me off. Although Voodoo Donuts is overrated,
right?
Although Voodoo Donuts has competitors in the city that are better than it, donuts are good.
Donuts are delicious.
So even Voodoo Donuts taste good.
Absolutely.
There are just better donuts.
Yeah,
out there.
No, they're I used
you
to
said
love donuts.
Crappy Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, because so. they're always stale.
Yeah, I think that's
they're
the thing.
Like, stale and crappy.
If you're gonna get a donut with cereal on top, the cereal has to be like. Crunchy. It can't be like stale Froot Loops.
All right, or, how do you have stale bacon?
Yeah.
I don't know. They find a way to get stale bacon
actually,
on their stale maple bars.
I love the maple bacon bars. You know, they're good. I mean, they're, you know, warm them up just a little bit and they're fire. I love them.
I've had some friends
about stale bacon and more that it's probably been sitting there for a little bit.
As far as donuts, there's a place in Los Angeles called Randy's Donuts.
And that's it's the famous one.
So
there.
Our hotel wasn't too far away from that, so got a chance to go there. Went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, which may very well be one of the most overrated places. And I'm going to say something that's going to be controversial to
overrated.
A lot of people.
Okay.
In-N-Out Burger is by far and away the most overrated burger place in the world, quite possibly. Now, mind you, I haven't had every burger place
in the world.
I should probably preface my comment by saying that. However, as far as the major chains and stuff like that, In-N-Out Burger might be next to White Castle as probably the worst ever.
Whoa.
Come on, man. I know you're a Jersey boy, man.
I was going to say White Castle.
White Castle is not good.
Yeah, I was going to say White Castle. But
White Castle frozen out of the supermarket is not good. White Castle fresh from their restaurant.
That's what they taste like, is they're frozen from the supermarket.
Trust me, they do not. Because the frozen ones, when you try to reheat them, the buns get all weirdly overheated and hard. White Castle's good, and no one will tell me otherwise.
In-N-Out is
trash.
You just had two people tell you otherwise, so... I'm just saying.
You're
in a corner right now.
I'm not listening to you. I love White Castle. I've never had In-N-Out before, but I've heard from almost everybody that it's not that good.
It's so just a regular ass burger, and
I think the marketing and the buzz, it probably was really good at a time for fast food, right? But we're in a world where fast food is improving.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone has a great burger.
Burgerville here is very good. I've heard Whataburger in Texas is very good. If you want to go even like the slight step up, Five Guys is really good. Those kind of places that aren't necessarily fast food because they use fresh ingredients, but they're made quickly.
Yeah.
Fast casual, I guess. There's a lot of good places. Little Big Burger is really good. So In-N-Out probably used to be amazing compared to McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King, and now it's probably just like, oh, it's a burger place.
It's a regular burger place, but for whatever reason, there was a line like around the corner. It was crazy.
Because people visiting, there's no In-N-Outs anywhere but California and Southern Oregon.
Go to Fat Burger. It's a much better burger.
Well, I think In-N-Out is very overrated, but the one thing that I think is actually very good about it is their beef inside the burger is actually very good beef. And you're not paying, Five Guys prices. It's more fast food prices.
Well, that's because it's actual fast food. Five Guys is that one step up.
So when you're thinking about comparing it to a place like McDonald's, I'm like, oh yeah, it's better than McDonald's. The beef is like 10 times better, and you get a lot more beef in my burger, which I like.
I also think the whole secret menu thing adds some lore that people want to go there and try all the stuff in the secret menu and have the animal sauce and all the
kind of stuff.
What's
all the stuff? That's another issue with In-N-Out. What's the stuff? Like, there's no bacon. There's no chicken. There's no... You can get a single, a double, triple.
Right. But you do know they've got the most expansive secret menu of any restaurant.
What's on the secret menu? I know the animal fries.
I haven't looked in a while. I remember looking it up once. You can kind of do whatever the hell you want. It's kind of insane. So you just have to know what to order and what to say. We can look it up in the break. But there's a lot of stuff that they had going on there. It might not be different meats, right? They might not have chicken and they might not have that, but there was a lot of different options that I saw, at least when I was looking at the menu. Anyway, happy Father's Day, before the end of the segment. Happy Father's Day to you, Rashad.
Thank you so much.
All the dads out there listening, and to my dad. And we will, I don't know, Rashad always hates Father's Day, so maybe we'll get to that later in the show.
It's not true. I don't hate Father's Day. I'm just...
You do rant about Father's Day every year.
No one cares about Father's Day.
I think a lot of people care about Father's Day. Maybe we'll get to that later in the show. But we've got a lot to get to. I would like to thank the Los Angeles Lakers and New Orleans Pelicans for making a crazy trade yesterday on a Saturday so that today we have a lot to talk about.
Definitely changed the show.
I mean, we already had a lot to talk about, but now the show is full. We're going to talk the AD trade to the Lakers coming up next. We got to talk about the Raptors winning the finals. I know Rashad's pretty passionate about what Kawhi Leonard did. I saw you posting on Facebook, of all places, your hot Kawhi Leonard takes. And we got to talk about the Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson injuries and what that means for the Warriors and them, and frankly, this offseason moving forward, because it does change quite a bit. Better You Today text line is 55305. You can text us there throughout the show. And then our Twitter handles, if you'd like to follow us and interact with us on there. I'm at Mike Lynch 27. Rashad's at TaylorMade503. Jesse's at Jesse Osman, ASZMAN. Coming up next, Anthony Davis to the Lakers for what feels like the entire Lakers current and future team. That's next. Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Better You Today text line is 55305. Acme Donuts was my favorite Portland donut place. Southeast Powell in the 20s. Gone now, but had incredible chocolate hazelnut iced raised donuts. Rest in peace. Voodoo is stale. And then Killer Burger is the best. I said this in the break to Rashad. I have not been to Killer Burger yet. There is one now in Beaverton. LaMichael James owns that one. And I just haven't had a chance to go over there yet. I had it actually in the plans a couple of weekends ago, and then that did not happen.
Get to Killer Burger. Get to Stupid Burger. The homies John Hunt and Danny Moore. Absolutely. Stupid Burger is awesome.
Good burgers are the best.
I'm a burger
awesome,
man.
Yeah. I've always said this, that if I had to eat one food for the rest of my life, it would be a burger. Because you can get it so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And we did this thing actually for the beer podcast. Beer's on Us, coming out Thursday around 4 o'clock. This one's up right now, though. We went to this thing at Wayfinder called Brewer Burger Brawl, and they had four different breweries make a slider each and pair it with their beer, and it was so good.
Yeah,
there was a boar burger, a venison burger, an elk burger.
I'm gonna come hang out with you guys. You know, beers are on you.
That's the name of the podcast, right? Beers on Us. Anyway, so let's get into the big sports news of the weekend, as the Anthony Davis trade has happened, honestly, faster than I thought it would. I thought we'd have a little bit of a week or two where multiple teams felt like they were in it, or there were three team trades being talked about. No, the Lakers off at the farm, and the Pelicans said, yeah, we'll take that. Thanks. So Anthony Davis by himself is going to the Lakers. One player. The Pelicans are sending back Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, three first round picks, including this year's number four pick. They also are sending the 2021 first round pick, as well as the 2024 first round pick. And then there's also something with swapping potential picks and how things can get deferred. I'm not 100% sure what all of that means, but it sounds like these three picks could turn into more depending on, I guess, the draft positions of certain teams, or at least get them better picks. I'm assuming when you say potential swaps, if the Lakers have a higher pick than the Pelicans and the Pelicans get to take that higher pick is my assumption, but I couldn't find anywhere that explained what the hell that meant. So basically three first round picks, the number four this year, a 2021 first, which is 2 years from now, and a 2024 first, which is 5 years from now, and three different players, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, two of your best young players, as well as Josh Hart, who is good, not great, but a good role player. So how do you feel? I guess that's the first question to ask. How do you feel about it?
First,
by the way, AD is not going to sign an extension. He's going to opt out and sign the max deal this offseason, coming offseason with the Lakers.
First, I was frustrated, angry, skip sad. Now I feel like, you know, I don't really care anymore. You know, at first it was like, bro, this could be really bad for the rest of the league. But then I thought about it.
Could be.
It could be. It could potentially be really bad. And then I thought about it, and the next thing we're hearing is Kyrie Irving is eyeing L.A., you know, and so it's between L.A. and the Nets. Now I'm like, it doesn't really – I'm not afraid of that team. This reminds me –
You're not afraid of Kyrie, LeBron, and Anthony Davis?
Not really. No, I mean, that sounds really weird, but, of course, the Warriors intimidate me much more than that team would. You know, and I think –
Even now?
Well, not right now, but considering when everybody comes back, because everybody thinks the Warriors out of it. That's silly. Yes, everybody plans to come back, at least from all the stuff that we're reading. Everybody feels like they need to run it back one time.
This year, the Warriors are out of it.
This year, the Warriors are out of it, but you're silly if you don't think that they're going to be back, you know, and they're going to have all their core of at least KD, Steph, and Klay, they're ready to go. With Draymond, I don't know when his contract is up, whatever. This reminds me of Carmelo to New York, though. Melo had openly said, man, after my contract is up, much like Anthony Davis laid it out, after my contract is up, I'm going to sign with the Knicks. That's where I'm from. Want to play in New York. That's just the way it's going to go. New York jumps the gun during the trade deadline and gives away all their assets for Carmelo Anthony. So then Melo gets there, and there's really nobody to play with. Amari gets hurt, so it's just him and Jeremy Lin, you know, for a while. And after that, the Knicks were terrible.
NBA champion Jeremy Lin, and you better get that
right. Oh, yeah, forgive me, man. Make sure you put some respect on his name, man. He's definitely got his ring. It's, you know, I'm good. I'm happy for Jeremy Lin, though. I mean, he didn't get to play, but I'm still happy for him. He was on the team, man. That's all that matters. But if you notice, the Knicks have never been the same. They never recovered because they were going for the gusto right then, and they gave away their entire franchise. I'm looking at the Lakers. I'm like, you just gave away all your best young assets. I mean, for the outside of Kuzma, you just gave away Ingram and you just gave away Lonzo, who I think Lonzo is much better than people want to give him credit for. The fact that LeVar is his dad is what hurts Lonzo, because if you didn't hate LeVar so much, you wouldn't feel the way about Lonzo. You would look at him as a good young point guard that's able to distribute, is able to be a playmaker and kind of score when necessary. That's how you would view him. Because LeVar is his dad, you view him differently. But I'm looking at New Orleans going, look at all the young talent you just acquired to go with this young. They're going to get Zion.
Yep.
They might trade
the fourth pick as well, from what I've seen.
So that's
to get a star player.
So there's another opportunity to get an all-star level guy that can come in there and really help these guys win. Hopefully it's a veteran presence for them. But I'm looking at that and say, man, New Orleans won. Like, I get it. You know, you get Anthony Davis, but this is really a three-year process. You know, this is a three-year experiment with the Lakers. They have to try to get it right by next year, because next year is really going to be the telling year. I don't know if they're going to win the championship this year. Of course, they're the favorites already.
And they're going to get another player.
Going to get another player. But again, if that player is Kyrie, Kyrie's shown that he's not.
What if it's Kemba?
If it's Kemba Walker, that's different.
What if it's D'Angelo Russell?
That's different. Well, that's different, because I don't think D'Angelo Russell is going to go back to L.A. But I could definitely see Kemba Walker. They need a shooter. And right, Kyrie is a shooter, but Kyrie wants to shoot every time. Kemba Walker can at least make sure guys get open and guys get their shot off. Kyrie is not that dude. So while that team scares me, you know, a little bit, if Golden State was there, they would still be the second best team, you know, maybe the third best team, because we don't know what Houston's doing. With Golden State being out, that opens the door for everybody.
Right. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Don't get too – we want to talk about that at some point in the show, because the Warriors' injuries are massive and at least for 1 year open the door for everybody. For me, this is a win-win for both teams. Right. In the Lakers, you were kind of in a lose-lose situation, because LeBron needed a star to play with. And in order to get a star, you were going to have to give up a lot of players, because every team knows LeBron was demanding a star. So they had no leverage. The Lakers had absolutely no leverage to do this. And if they didn't get a star, then LeBron would pout and the team would be bad again. And it would be bad. So you'd be wasting LeBron's final years as an NBA player, which was supposed to elevate the Lakers back to relevancy. And or if you got those guys, you had to give up the farm because you had no leverage. So they got Anthony Davis, which I think in terms of the Lakers is probably more important. You have LeBron. He might not be the best player in the NBA anymore. He still could become that if he stops being injured next year or get back on that mantle, I suppose. But to me, you still have one of the best players in the NBA ever on your team for X amount of years moving forward. Now you have to get somebody. So you get Anthony Davis, the guy who wanted to play for you, the guy who wanted to play with LeBron, and you have the max slot. So it's a win for them, right? I think. And the Pelicans got such a haul. It was insane. We heard the reports that Olshay reached out to the Pelicans, and what they were asking was way too much for the Blazers to give up, which we've heard before. But looking at this, I don't even think the Blazers could have had this package to give up.
No.
They don't have anyone near what this package was.
And the guys that we do have, you're not giving those up.
Well, I mean, if you did for Anthony Davis, you're risking obviously the same thing that your Toronto risked by trading DeMar DeRozan, and you get a great year, right? Maybe you win a title, and then you have to reset. But either way,
would you be okay with that?
Yes, if you win a title.
Yeah.
If you win a title, yeah, absolutely. But the Pelicans get the number 4 pick this year, which they can either use. Remember, they also have the number 1 pick, which is for Zion, or they can trade for a star player. And then they've got 3 other first-round picks. Oh, and by the way, they got 2 different lottery picks in Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart, a solid player. I mean, David Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
So it was a win-win to both teams for me. I think this will probably turn out better for the Pelicans in the long run, as long as Zion turns out to be as good as we think he will be, because that team's going to be fun and nasty to watch. But in terms of the next year or two or three for the Lakers, watch out. Because, I mean, they got these great players.
Well, let's just be honest. The Lakers were already the fourth seed with the roster they had in LeBron James. So now you throw in Anthony Davis and possibly a Kyrie Irving in there, you know, or Kemba Walker. Yeah, you've got yourself a really, really good team, especially once they gel. I think if there is an opportunity for anybody to step in there and do something, it's always the first year where those teams typically struggle. Everybody's trying to figure out where they fit together and how they fit together. Jesse and I were talking, you know, before the show. Man, LeBron changes the way big men play. All of them. Ask Chris Bosh, ask Kevin Love. Like, those are big guys that could shoot, not shooting big men. And Anthony Davis, luckily for him, is already a big guy who can shoot. Now let's just see how LeBron's play kind of changes. Does LeBron change his game to fit Anthony Davis, or is Anthony Davis going to have to change his game? Because now he's the guy in his prime. LeBron, let's say, even though he was 28-8-8 last year, LeBron is clearly, not clearly, but he's definitely on the decline just because Father Time says so. So at this point, does he change his game a little bit to, you know, make up for Anthony Davis, or does he continue to be the guy he is and let Anthony Davis kind of figure it out? I think that's where other teams have an opportunity to slip in there and get some wins on it.
It is going to be quite fascinating to see what the Western Conference looks like this year moving forward. And we'll get to this in the next segment, but Kevin Durant out for the entirety of next year with a ruptured Achilles tendon. Klay Thompson out for most of next year with a torn ACL suffered in the last quarter, basically, or the third quarter of the last game of their playoff run this year. The Warriors reportedly are still likely going to or are interested in 2-0 USA, by the way, over Chile. Interested in signing max deals still with KD and Klay Thompson. So you're essentially taking a redshirt year this year for the Warriors and then get the full super team back next year. So for at least 1 year, although the Lakers are putting a little bit of a pin in that, the West is wide open. What does that mean moving forward? And what does this mean for those two players' injuries as well? That's next. But first, Jesse, SportsCenter.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Kevin Durant out for the entirety of next year. Klay Thompson likely out for most of, if not the entirety of next year, with a torn ACL.
God, that sucks,
man. I know. Well, it sucks for the player, if you like the player and stuff, but it makes the West really interesting this year. So the reports are out there, and this might not happen, but the reports are out there that the Warriors would be interested in signing both to max contracts anyway, even though they're both injured. And then Michael Thompson, former Blazer, used to work at this radio station, actually, and Klay's dad said there's no doubt he's re-signing with the Warriors, Klay. KD can opt in if he wants, $31 million or something, and then be an unrestricted free agent next year after he's done recovering from the injury. But from what we've seen, he might be behooved to sign a max deal now to guarantee that he'll make a lot of money even though he has the injury. And the Warriors are, sounds like, willing to give that to him because of what he's done for them. And he could return in 2 years with, what would it be, 3 or 4 years left on his max deal. Probably not the Kevin Durant we know or remember, but probably still an all-star level player. And the reason I say that is Achilles injuries are notoriously really difficult to come back from. Almost every single person who's returned from an Achilles injury has not been the same. The best example of a good return was Dominic Wilkins. His first year back, he was really good, but his numbers very quickly faded after that. So you could say he returned really well from the injury, or you could say that generally he was worse. Most of the guys who suffer this injury are quite old in their careers. They're 35, 36, so they're already at the decline point. So it's not the best sample size for a study, but generally players don't return to be the same. Most recently and most locally, Wes Matthews. He's now a good NBA player, but he's nowhere near the same player he was when he was hurt on the Blazers. So KD will be a great player. He just will probably no longer be the best player in the NBA.
I don't know. I think for what KD does, you know, the real question is he going to be able to boogie with the ball the way he does? You know, is he going to be able to cross over and, you know, get to a spot the way he's able to do it? He's a knockdown shooter. KD is going to play.
And that will always be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. He's never going to lose his ability to shoot. And the same with Klay, you know. So while these injuries are bad, like you mentioned, we haven't really seen any player in their prime take that injury. You know, when that happened to Dominique, that was towards the end of his career. And then after that, he came back and, you know, had a good, you know, year in Atlanta and then went to play in, like, where was it? San Antonio or, you know, somewhere else from there. Kobe was towards the end of his career. You know, that was really the last 4 years of Kobe's career. And really, he took his team to the playoffs, trying to will that young, terrible team to the playoffs, and then blew his Achilles from there.
Isaiah Thomas, the senior, was older in his career at that point.
You know,
the end of his career.
So a lot of the guys, you know, that's happened to, it's been a lot of wear and tear on their bodies, KD as well. But I think he'll be able to kind of muster through that. Even if he's not the player he was, he's still going to be a knockdown shooter that's 7 feet tall. Like, there's not a team in the league that wouldn't want a guy like that. Klay, again, same thing. Like, his ability to shoot changes the way that he's able to, like, it'd be different if they both these guys already played, like, really above the rim, much like Dominique. You know, that takes away from what he was able to do, because Dominique was such a crazy athlete, especially in the open court or, man, one-on-one with somebody. But neither of these guys really play above the rim like that, to where that's where all their money is coming from. Most of their buckets come from, you know, stop-and-pop jumpers, you know, or Klay, off of screens and things like that.
Klay especially.
Yes.
And also, returning from a torn ACL, no longer a death sentence, right? We've seen plenty of people come back from it. You know, one of the reasons it's so much easier is that the rest of the knee has other things stabilizing it, right? The ACL is not the only thing stabilizing the knee. Whereas the Achilles tendon is the only tendon between the calf and the ankle. It's the only one. So when you rupture that, that's it. So there's you can't walk, you can't do anything. It's got to be fully repaired, and it's really easy to re-injure. Mm-hmm. Cam Cleland had it twice, had it re-injured when he was about to get paid a lot of money in the NFL when he was a tight end back in the day. So it's really, really, really tough injury to come back from. I'm not really worried about Klay. He might even return in April next year and be a sharpshooter and maybe even help the Warriors get to the playoffs as a lower seed. Again, guessing that they're going to play with just Steph and a bunch of role players if they max sign KD and Klay Thompson. They're not going to have a lot of room for other contracts. But for Durant, the reason I say not the best player in the NBA, but still a great player and all-star, is because of the shooting. But KD's game is not just predicated on shooting, right? He can still drive the lane. He still
great
does
defender.
Rise above the rim. He is a great defender, and that'll be affected a lot by mm-hmm. the Achilles injury. And if you noticed, when he came back from the calf injury in game 5, the first quarter, he really didn't do much but shoot. He stood around the arc, and he would get shots up. And when he started getting confident, I think that he made one move. He drove into the free throw line, did a little jab step spin move, got himself an open shot. That was Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
The second time he tried to do something like that is when the Achilles snapped. That is also a big part of his game. So if he can still shoot, great, but his ability to get open when he's isolated with the ball might not be as good as it used to be, might not be as quick as it used to be. So that's why I say I'm not sure he's going to ever reach that full level again, which sucks, because watching Kevin Durant play at his full level is a beautiful thing to watch.
He's special, man. There's not a lot of 7-foot point guards, basically, that can shoot the way he's able to shoot and get to the rim at will.
But you're still getting a great player back in a year. But so that's where the Warriors are right now. That's where those two players are right now. But going into this year with the Warriors out of it, and I guess now the Lakers probably as the favorite until we see what else happens, it kind of opens the door for a bunch of teams to try to make a better run in the playoffs. And if other teams are out there like you, Rashad, saying that that's a great Lakers team, but I'm not as scared of it as I was of the Warriors team, then that means that a bunch of teams think they have a chance that they can make the NBA Finals next year out of the West.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking Lakers, Clippers, Blazers, Nuggets, Rockets, Thunder, Pelicans, even if they are actually really good with these guys, Jazz. Who else am I forgetting? I'm probably forgetting another team or two, but that's 8 teams who think they could make the NBA Finals. Spurs. Yeah, sure. 9 teams who think they can have a chance if they do the right things this offseason to make the NBA Finals. I can't remember the last time I've seen the West this open. I'm not sure it's ever been this open.
No, it's been a while. You know, Golden State's had such a chokehold on the Western Conference, even before KD got there. And now,
and before them, the Spurs did. And yeah, before them, the Lakers did.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's always that team, always that dynasty that just kind of has a chokehold on the conference. And now you get a chance to see who can step forward and win. Like, you look at the Eastern Conference, and taking away LeBron, all of a sudden, the possibilities were endless. Could it be Toronto? Could it be Philadelphia? Man, it might be Milwaukee. Like, those
Boston,
are three.
Boston. Even Brooklyn, like, looked good at
times. There were four teams that you could honestly say, man, okay, it's no shock that they made it to the finals.
If Oladipo was healthy, the Pacers could have done
it. The Pacers, you know, who still made a deep run, not a deep run, but still made a playoff run without Oladipo, you know, this season. So, yes, the East opened up like that, and I think you're going to see the same thing in the Western Conference. I think the Lakers, based on talent and the talent that they're going to get, it's still probably going to be the two seed. But I wouldn't count out a Blazers team who's got all those guys coming back, you know, healthy for the most part, with the exception of Nurkic. It wouldn't shock me if they ended up as a 1-2 seed. You know, it wouldn't shock me if the Clippers, if they get a Kawhi or a Jimmy Buckets or something like that, ends up as a 2-3 seed. So that's the cool thing about it. It opens everything up for everyone else. But it does still suck that you won't be able to see arguably the most talented person in the NBA not play this next season.
The other crazy thing about the Warriors is that their bill for the season, if they don't have Durant and Klay and they sign them both, is going to be something like $300 million or something crazy for the year. And they're going to be basically redshirting. They're just going to say, hey, this is going to be kind of a down year, but we're still going to pay way over the salary cap and have a huge luxury tax and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my God.
But I'm curious what other teams.
Can you imagine that as a team?
I'm curious of what other teams are going to offer or would offer them. I mean, assuming KD, you know, actually opts out, in which I don't, you know.
He still might.
I don't think he will at this point, but assuming they actually do, like, then you can see what other teams really want to give up for you.
I bet you the Knicks would still offer him.
I bet you a lot of teams. Listen, if you're the Blazers and you got the money,
for a year,
I'm giving it to Kevin Durant. Like, I mean, based on name, whatever, I'm giving it to Kevin Durant just because I know he's that good. And when he comes back from injury, he's going to help your team. Like, that's just what it is. Even if he's a guy that comes in and averages 19 points a game for you because he doesn't move the way he used to, that's still a really valuable asset to have.
That's the move, though. Like a team like Golden State can get away with offering Kevin Durant a max deal, and it's no big deal. It's Golden State. Great culture, great winning tradition right now. Like, GM, coaching, just roster building, all that's in place, right? So KD gets a year off. You could justify offering him a max deal and feeling no real worry about it.
Absolutely.
New York, those kind of moves, that kind of move, that's why New York is New York, is because they continue to make these type of moves.
Absolutely.
And so, sure, yeah. Well, yeah, they'll offer Kevin Durant this opportunity, but what's going to happen if Kevin Durant takes it? He's going to go to New York. He probably won't be the same player. He'll still be a really, really good player. He'll still be one of the best players in the league, but he won't be the same player. He's not going to have a good enough supporting cast. It'll probably be worse than Oklahoma City. And all of a sudden, Kevin Durant's going, man, I left Golden State for this.
It strikes me as odd that anybody would ever want to play for the Knicks. And for KD and even Kyrie to come out and say, man, the Knicks are an option for me, that's weird.
Anthony Davis did too.
Anthony Davis, and I don't know these guys. So I don't want to be one of these dudes that assassinates character. I honestly don't. I don't know anything about them in their personal lives. But what I can tell you is there's got to be something different going on about your winning mentality if the Knicks was the option that you chose, based on everything, based on their history, based on the current owner, based on a lot of different things. I'd be like, I would never want to play for New York. But KD's a different cat. You know what I'm saying? Kyrie is a different cat. He's just built different. He's a flat earther. You know what I mean? So there are certain dudes that I think I don't understand what that would mean for the Knicks. Of course, we want the Knicks to be better, because the Knicks, much like the Lakers, and people can hate hearing this, but the NBA is just a better product when the great historic franchises are good.
I kind of look at it as, so So with Kyrie, I totally see Kyrie going to the Knicks because Kyrie's like it's more his ego is more important than anything.
Yeah, right. Enough about right. me.
It's
Let's
all
talk
about
me.
It's all about me. I need to be the guy. I got the best player in the league. We're winning championships. We're going to the NBA finals every year. Not good enough. I need to be the guy. That's the type of guy that goes to the Knicks. I expect that. And I expect the Knicks to be the Knicks. Kevin Durant, he's an interesting guy because before he went to Golden State, he was one of the most likable NBA players in the league. He goes to Golden State, he becomes public enemy number one. And a lot of what Kevin Durant is, a lot of players are this way. Kawhi Leonard, to me, a lot of like this year is it's what the media makes him, right? We don't know. Like, everybody's saying Kawhi Leonard's leaving, which, yeah, sure, he could. It's quite possible he's leaving. But we don't know, especially because of how much introvert Kawhi Leonard is. And nobody really does know outside of Kawhi. Same thing with, I mean, Kevin Durant's in there, and he's just kind of taking care of business. He gets sick of hearing about, you know, right now we're trying to get to the finals. Right now we're trying to win another championship. I don't want to talk about what's going on in the offseason. Sure, he could come out and say the same thing that LA said, right? I want to be a Golden State Warrior forever. And then if he leaves in the offseason, once again, he looks bad once again. Well, now he's hurt. You see how those guys really are in the locker room, just like any other locker room, just like any other family. You have fights. You have people that get angry with each other. But in the end, you see the camaraderie with those guys when they get hurt and the fact that they seem very much like a family. And Kevin Durant has taken less money to be there. Steph has taken less money to be there. Clay's taken less money to be there. They've already shown this in their history. So I don't understand why all of a sudden we are like, Kevin Durant's gone. He's not that personality.
We gotta take a break here. But coming up next, I'll answer that question because I think it's maybe not Durant necessarily, but I think most NBA players follow a very similar mindset, and it's really easy to find out why you would make that kind of a decision. So this is Sports Sunday on The Fan. That's next.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:47 here on your Sunday morning. Mike, Rashad, Jesse with you till 11 o'clock, talking lots of NBA today.
Quickest break ever.
Yeah, it was a really short break. Happy Father's Day, everybody out there.
Appreciate it.
So my response to Jesse's question from last segment is, and Rashad's question too, is why do all these players still want to go to New York? And I'll even add LA in, because literally every player who says this, they say New York or LA. That's it. That's all they say. I think to me it's really simple. For the most part, this is not always the case. There are there are players out there who are obviously bucking this trend. Damian Lillard is one of them. Kawhi Leonard might be one of them, although that's yet to be seen, as most people think he will likely go to the Clippers. So he'll be going to LA, which is where he wanted to go. Players want the most money and attention they can get, period. And I think a lot of players care about that more than winning. I think they look at their career as a way for them to become massively popular and successful for their entire lives, which part of it is their career. But not a lot of players care about winning in the same way that the Kobe Bryants or the Michael Jordans or whoever else you want to throw out there cares about winning. The reason that New York and LA are always the options is it's an obvious one, right? Sure, those teams might suck, and they may have sucked for the last 10 years or 5 years or whatever the trajectory they're on at this point, the Knicks for much longer than the Lakers. You are putting yourself in one of the two biggest markets in the country, and you are putting yourself as basically an open door to get more money than anywhere else. From the amount of people and companies that are in those two cities, you are opening yourself up to advertising dollars and marketing dollars that you wouldn't be getting in other places. So you care less about winning. You want your star to be more. So you go to New York or LA, which is going to be on ESPN or TNT every freaking week if you go there. And they're already on even when they suck because they're the Knicks and the Lakers. And then you get the opportunity of these massive cities with tons of companies and tons of people to grow your star even more and to get even more money through endorsements and whatever other thing you want to do. It's the simple reason why. So some players may stay in small markets because that doesn't matter to them. And you're right, in this day and age, it's easier to stay a star in a smaller market because of social media and stuff like that. But I think in order to do so, you need to have something incredibly unique about your play style or your personality. You mentioned Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is only as big of a star as he is in Oklahoma City because of two things. The triple doubles, which we've never seen before ever, and his style and personality in press conferences. He makes himself news.
There you go.
So if he was just good Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, nobody would give a rip about him. Look at what Damian Lillard goes through. Damian Lillard is just himself in Portland, and it took making the Western Conference Finals in an amazing series against the Thunder for it to become more of a national story than, oh, Damian Lillard's a great player, but hey, he's in Portland.
I think Dame is again, one of those great examples, almost kind of like Westbrook is. Dame found a way to – he found his lane in the NBA. It wasn't necessarily basketball first. You know, nobody remembers Four Bar Friday. That was something Damian Lillard started and kind of got not just the rest of the NBA, but people outside of the NBA and other sports that came up with, you know, Four Bar Fridays and stuff like that. Dame became a rapper and Dame got the big Adidas deal. Like, he was first team all league last year. So I think he understood.
But it's different than Westbrook, though.
It's different than Westbrook.
Westbrook is making himself a story, whereas Lillard, I don't think he's ever made himself the story.
No, I don't think he's made himself the story. I think he's done a good job of marketing himself, though. I think he's done a good job of being in Portland and drawing eyes to him. Again, he had a $200 million Adidas deal before he was first team All-NBA. I think a lot of that comes from him making sure he can get eyes put on him in the right ways, right? Throwing camps for kids, showing up to certain things, having amazing numbers, you know, when you play. I think all those things help. I'm curious about New York because the guys that want to go there are arguably the most sensitive athletes that we've seen in some time. Like, Kevin Durant is going at middle school kids, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that.
What's a fake handle.
What's he going to do with the New York media the minute that the Knicks lose four games in a row? Or the minute that KD goes 0-7 for the night, ends up with 13 points. How is that? That media is going to tear him apart, you know, on multiple occasions.
And most of these players don't consider that as a thing, right?
No, that's not a thing because they don't. That's not their reality. You remember that time?
They think everyone's going to love them because they're great.
Remember the Oklahoman? I think what's the name of their? Is that the Oklahoman? The Gazette
when
they
wrote Westbrook guy.
What, the Mr. Reliable or Mr. Unreliable or something like that for Kevin Durant and. They had to write a retraction and an apology to Kevin Durant and everything. Like, that's how sensitive.
Which was BS, by the way.
You should absolutely never have to do that, which was BS. But Kevin Durant was that sensitive to where he was like, I'm not going to talk to you guys anymore if you don't go ahead and change what you said about me. And okay, so if you're the Oklahoman or whatever, Okay. If you're them, now you look soft. Now you look unreliable because you put out a story and No, you know what? Never mind. We were tripping. Kevin, he's actually a great leader. He's actually a nice guy. And then we're finding out, man, everything that they kind of said, we're kind of spot on about. You know what I mean? And so I think when you're in a small market, you can do stuff like that. But when Kyrie goes to New York with his silly flat earth theories and with his lack of defense and his lack of leadership and all these little things that he has, yes, the media in New York is going to tear him a new one. For sure, Brooklyn or the Knicks, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, and KD he has a hard time dealing with the media in Oakland.
He's a hard time dealing with kids,
right?
Like 13-year-olds.
This guy's literally like, yeah, like, oh, 13-year-olds picking on me on Twitter. I'm going to like fight back.
And it's so paper thin, you can see right through.
So like, it just him in New York, that does not seem to make sense. Like Kyrie. Like Kyrie, I think it'd be fun because I think he'd just fight back. Like it would, I think it'd be a gong show and it'd be just absolutely fun to watch.
And he would drive he would be miserable. Like
he would be miserable.
Both, I mean, he couldn't play with LeBron, right? That was a problem. Going to the finals every year for 3 years in a row was a problem, even though considering you didn't make the playoffs before you got there. Then you get to Boston, which is the definition of team basketball. The Boston Celtics. You get there And you couldn't win with them. They went to the finals the year before.
And you're pouting.
Without you. And you're now you're mad and you're down. You're pouting. And, oh, we're going to win because they have me. And then you got embarrassed in the second round of the playoffs. Like, at this was it second round or first round?
Second round.
Yes. Yeah. Second round by of the playoffs. Bucks. Like, I don't know what some of these guys are thinking about, but New York is definitely not the place that they want to go.
On the flip side, but it is, though. That's the thing, is they don't look at the negative
of it. They don't. But I'm saying that's not where you want to go, fam.
The other thing to look at to continue my argument about this is Anthony Davis, right? Considered one of the best players in the NBA, but has been in New Orleans his entire career. Anthony Davis gets minimal pub for being as good as he is. If you think about it, in the grand scheme of things, generally throughout the regular season, nobody really talks about Anthony Davis, right? There was a lot of talk in the offseason when he and Boogie Cousins teamed up for a year. There was a lot of talk for those first couple of weeks, and then it kind of faded. Anthony Davis doesn't really do anything outside of be a solid player, and he got no buzz outside of being a good player. If you really, really try to think about who gets talked about inside the NBA and who gets talked about on ESPN, it's very rarely that kind of player, right? Yeah. And there's examples on all the small market teams. And like I said, I will include Damian Lillard, although he is now kind of getting past that because of where the Blazers have gotten the last few years. But he was always like this too. He was doing great things, yet he got mentioned maybe once, right? Oh, cool. Look up in the way far Northwest, Pacific Northwest. Look at what Damian Lillard did with Anthony Davis. Oh, cute. Down in the bayou. Look at what AD did last night. Now he goes to Los Angeles. Now he's never going to not be talked about.
No,
it's, now his entire life and career is going to be in the spotlight, which is probably what he wants.
No, this is Pau Gasol to the Lakers, you know, kind of all over again. Again, Pau Gasol when he went, it's easy to forget because it seems like it was so long ago, but 2004, 2005, Rookie of the Year, Pau Gasol, he was really, really freaking good. And he was just on a Memphis team that just couldn't turn the corner. They couldn't figure it out, and they would lose every year in the first round. And the same way they had the conversation about Anthony Davis is he really that good? Is he that good? He should be somewhere else. And then he went to the Lakers, and it was immediate success. Trip to the finals the first year, two championships to follow that. I think you look at a guy like Anthony Davis, and we know that this was a whole four-year project with the Lakers. You know, last year was year one. This will be year two. And so now LeBron and Anthony Davis have 3 years to get one championship. That's the whole goal. I don't think the goal was multiple championships. I don't think it was four or five.
I think LeBron learned from the not three.
Yeah, he knows how hard it is to win. So the goal is one championship at this point. And if the Lakers get one in 4 years, that's a success. And everybody did their job. Everybody's going to, you know, get pats on the back for a job well done. But, yeah, you're right. Anthony Davis kind of, you know, flew under the radar. You knew about him because you knew how good the guy was. You knew that he could get to the rim whenever he wanted to. He's basically an unstoppable basketball player, which is why you talked about him. But not a lot of commercials, you know, not a lot of fanfare. You know him as the brow, and I guess that's the most telling thing about him is the unibrow that he refuses to cut for no reason. But
it's his brand, man.
But again, what is that brand meant for you? You know,
it just makes
you look silly, you know, more than anything. And if you go to New York, they're going to make fun of the brow over and over and over again. It's going to be a constant punchline.
Especially if he struggles.
Especially if he struggles. You know, that's
the
thing.
New York Post and the Daily News back sports headlines are going to be some snarky comment about the brow if he's losing.
Again, I've been to New York, and this is not to, you know, say anything bad about the you know, northeast part of the country, you know. However, man, I've driven there, and people are incredibly impatient. You know, the minute you don't go on green or even go on red, they're honking the horns at a red light. I'm like, where am I supposed to go? Like, it's a red light. So I can imagine losing two games as a Knick could be terrible. You lose two, three games as a Jet, they're writing terrible things about you. The Giants are like a journalist's dream right now because there's always something wrong with the franchise at this point. So
really most New York franchises.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mets, the Jets, the Knicks, the Giants, the...
Now, I don't know.
The Nets are okay.
And I haven't heard much about the Nets, so I'm not sure how most of New York feels
about the Nets. I think most of New York doesn't
Nets.
Care about the Nets, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were New Jersey's team. They're still fairly new. Anyway, let's get into next hour. I want to talk about the finals. We got to talk about the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard and what he did in this playoff performance, which was just insane. I think, was that last week, Jesse, that we talked about his numbers in the playoffs? when Rashad was out. We were looking through how crazy he's been playing.
Oh,
yeah.
Off the charts, man.
That might have been last week. But we'll talk about that. But coming up next, I want to give a little Blazers segment here because, as we mentioned, the West, although the Lakers just did something about it, it's wide open, and the Blazers have a chance to, at least for 1 year, really push to make the NBA Finals. But will they take that chance, and what should they do or try to do to accomplish that? That's next here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.